Good morning. Good to see everybody come this way this morning. Got a pretty good crowd come out, nearly a full house. Might have been better than that, but we had some folks come in visiting. They come to the back door and spoke to Mark, and he said, I'll go out and get my family. He didn't like y'all's looks because they didn't come back. God bless them. I hope they get somewhere this morning that the message of Jesus Christ is preached, don't you? Amen. Yeah, he came in the door and got a bulletin and spoke to Mark. He said, I'll go get my family. They might have lived a long way off. We took for granted they're just sitting outside in the car, you know, but God bless them. Maybe they'll find somewhere that'll preach the gospel to them this morning. Who knows? Maybe they didn't like the way we looked, or I don't know what it could have been. I wasn't back there, so I didn't run them off. Wasn't me. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to share some of the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with you this morning. Got some visitor cards filled out. Got Nancy Evans visiting from Harrisburg, Tennessee. Pretty long travel. That's and she's, huh? Illinois. Lord, that is a long way. And here with Kenny. And y'all are cousins. Okay. Well, glad to have you here. Glad to have you here. And we've got Pam and Paul McBriar here visiting with us also. They're from Sand Mountain. I guess some of y'all may know them. We were standing back talking before the service got started, and we was trying to decide how long it's been since we've been in church service together. It's been a long time, hasn't it? Really hard to say how long. You know, I'm not really sure. Been a long time. Paul, how long has it been since we've been in church service? 6-7 years? Been a long time, hasn't it? Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Brings back old memories. You know, we last time we was in church together, had a revival out at Clearmont out on Sand Mountain, and just had a good meeting out there. I'm telling you, the Lord broke out, and we had a good service every night. And I remember those things. You know, I remember when God moves in and people are obedient. I've got a new theme for pastor this year. I try to have a scriptural theme every year when I start the year. I hadn't shared it with y'all yet. In Colossians, I'll just tell you what it is. In Colossians 3:23, it said, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Now, that is my theme and my scripture for this year as pastor, that whatsoever I do, I'm going to do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And so I guess that ought to encourage y'all that you can step up and also say, well, we're going to do this thing heartily. We're going to put a little more effort in it than normal or what we've usually done. And so that's going to be my theme this year. I want to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning. That's one of the main things, you know, that we're here about, to share that gospel to see souls saved. I've got a desire to see souls saved. I've got a desire to see souls rededicated to the Lord, that we step up and do what we're supposed to do. If you'll look with me in St. John chapter 20, St. John chapter 20, I'm going to start right there. We're going to talk about doubt a little bit. I know that's a thing with all of us. Any of y'all doubted anything this week? Anybody here had a doubt in their life, you know, just, oh, I don't know if that could happen, or you wonder about this, or you doubt about that? It's a hard thing sometimes for Christians to deal with. They begin doubting this, they begin doubting that. You know, and we have no reason ever to doubt God, do we? Because God's going to do exactly what God said He would do. If God promised, you're going to get it. Amen. If God promised, you're going to get it. So let's talk a little bit about doubt this morning, and then I want to move on to the scripture according to Paul that he wrote down, and he was giving instructions to Christians and people that needed Jesus Christ in their life. St. John chapter 20, and starting in verse 24, but Thomas was one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And I began reading this last night, and I thought, he made a decision that he's going to doubt. Amen. That was his decision that he made, and it's going to affect him to the point that Jesus corrects that. And I got thinking about how oftentimes in our life do we choose to doubt. That we make a choice in our mind, in our heart, okay, I doubt that. You know, there's times in our life that this makes a lot of difference in having prayers answered and blessings of God delivered. When we doubt, He has a problem with that, you know. He wants us not to doubt, but to believe what God said. Oh, I've been guilty before. I've been guilty at times, you know, how people come down and say, "Will you pray for me?" Yeah, I'll pray for you. And then in your mind, here comes that little doubt. Well, I don't know. Well, God's able and God's capable of all things. So we need to remove doubt out of our life that we become better Christians, better servants of God, that we move forward for the cause of Christ. Doubt hurts. Doubt hinders. Doubt limits. And on and on and on, the things that doubt does in our life. Well, here we have the example that, Thomas had already decided. He said, "Well, unless I see the nail scars in his hand, the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe." Now, that's considerate and all that's going on. That is really a lot of doubt in his mind. He chose to doubt. He could have chose not to doubt. See, God gives us choices in life. And we're accountable for every choice we make, whether we do, whether we don't. Now, I know these other disciples had seen the Lord. Okay, Thomas didn't see him with his eyes, but when the others told him, he said, "We've seen the Lord." He said, "I'm not going to believe it. I'm going to doubt." Now, he made a decision in life to doubt. God gives us choices and decisions to make, and you're accountable for every one. If you've chose this morning to doubt, you may have a problem with the rest of the service. I came not doubting. I believe God's going to work a miracle here today. I prayed for it and asked it, and I'm not doubting. I believe God's going to work a miracle in this church today that somebody might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and receive Him for salvation. That can happen right here today. I didn't come doubting. Get the Thomas out of you. That we don't doubt. Verse 26, "And after 8 days, again his disciples were within." Now notice this situation and setting. They hadn't dispersed. They were again together. Now they'd went out and done their business, no doubt, but they were back together. And it said, "And Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be unto you.'" That's the message Jesus Christ gives nearly every time He comes in contact with me and you and many others of this congregation. "Peace be unto you." You know, when you're upset, you're distracted or disturbed about something, this message of peace comes to us through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Thomas was there this time, and it said Jesus came in, the doors being shut. And so you can't limit the access of Jesus. You can't lock Him out. You can't close Him out, because He can get in if He wants in. So he finds Thomas in their midst. And verse 28 or verse 27, and saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithful but believing." Jesus knew about his unbelief. Jesus knew about his doubt. He knew about the decision he had made that I'm not going to believe that unless I see it. Jesus knew about that. When I read this last night, I got very convicted about every time I doubt, every time I don't believe, Jesus knows it. Amen. He knows all about these times that we've got that little doubt in our mind. We've got that little thing there that we don't quite believe that. You know, I looked through the house last week when I told you that we're going to increase at New Salem Baptist Church in 2013. We're headed for increase. We're going to see souls saved. We're going to see lives rededicated. We're going to see people come into the church, and we need to be ready. So if you're doubting it, I want you to quit. Jesus knows about your doubts. When he confronted Thomas, that's what he said. He said, "Here, see the prints in my hand. Thrust your hand in my side. If that's what it takes to make you believe." And Jesus wanted him to believe and not doubt, because doubt robs us of joy. Doubt robs us of many of the blessings God has to give. If you're here doubting, try to get over it. In verse 28, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Now you imagine being confronted by Jesus about your doubt, and then when he takes all that away, there was no doubt when he said this. He said, "My Lord and my God." And there's no doubt in his mind that Jesus is resurrected, alive and well. Now that's where we need to be today in our belief, that we know the Lord Jesus Christ, alive and well, resurrected from the dead, take away all the doubt. Nothing but the devil would have you to doubt today. Let's don't let him win. Verse 29, and Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And I love this about being blessed, don't you? If there's anything I like, it's being blessed of God. Y'all think about that. How many of you today would like to be blessed of God? Yeah. Amen. Now he said, Thomas, you've believed because you've seen. He said, blessed are they that have not seen yet have believed. I've never saw the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe it with all my heart. Don't y'all? If you could raise your hand up today and say, I believe with all my heart in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're going to be blessed of God. Now you see what it gets down to, the point that God said he'll bless you for believing, not for doubting. Blessing comes with belief, not with doubt. We need all the doubt out of New Salem Baptist Church. We need it displaced, dispelled, taken out of here, that we're believers and know we're blessed. I love it when he said that. He said, because you've seen, you believe. Blessed are they that have not seen yet have believed. And you're blessed today because you've believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. I don't have the full example. I don't have it all. And if y'all will remind me when I get to heaven, if some of y'all will remind me, say you was going to ask Jesus about what else he did that day. What else went on that we didn't have recorded? Tell us what else you did. He said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. I'm going to ask him, said, I want to know about those. Very important now in verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, that's why these things are written and recorded and brought down to us and preached from this pulpit today under the power of the Holy Spirit, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that you might have eternal life. And so we see the importance of the doubt and the belief. God blesses belief. I'm going to call on you to believe today. Put away the doubt and believe today. Let's look over a little bit, Father, and just a few more things on my mind. Acts chapter 16, if you'll turn over there with me. Acts chapter 16, I'm going to start in verse 13. I'm going to pick up a little bit about Paul and Silas in a few minutes. But before we get to that, I want to show you something very important in the Word of God. You know, there's certain times in the Word of God we read things and we look for these great big things and these great big happenings going. But sometimes just little bitty words make a big difference in how we believe and how we trust God. Just little bitty things, the smallest things, sometimes become the most important. I want to see you, show you something that's very important today. This makes or breaks a situation in your case for salvation. In Acts chapter 16, verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now, everybody, look and concentrate on this verse. It talks about whose heart the Lord opened when she had heard Paul and Silas. The Lord opened her heart. Now, we still have that power available with us today through the Holy Ghost of God, that it opens heart, that they hear the Word of God. That's what happened in her case. She was already a worshiper of God, but when she heard Paul and Silas, the Lord opened her heart and began to let her hear about Jesus Christ, the Son, the Savior of the world, and there began to be a great change in her. So I'm praying today that hearts be opened by this power of God, that you hear this Word going out. Down in the bottom part, it said that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So she took action when she heard it. When the Lord opened her heart, it said she attended to the things that she had heard. There's so many times we hear, but we don't attend. We don't take care of it. We do nothing about it. We let it go by the wayside. This Lydia attended to the words she had heard spoken by Paul and Silas, and got saved. She attended to what she heard. There are times that we need to attend to what God says to us and how He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit and from the pulpits and from the teacher stands. We need to be attending to it. If you attend to it, you take care of it, don't you? Is that a good definition that if you attend to it, you're going to take care of it, right? She took care of it. God opened her heart. She heard the word, and then she attended to it. I'm asking for a little bit, attend to it today. That's where we need to be, that we attend to what God puts on our heart and in our mind through the opening of the Holy Spirit. In verse 15, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So here she attended to it. She got saved. She believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then she attended to the ordinance of baptism, which God calls for. We need some people attending to things, right? Attending to this call of God. That we attend to it. She attended to it. She heard the word. She attended to it. She got saved. She got baptized. And her households. And so attending to makes a difference, right? Don't let these things go by the wayside. Don't let these messages from God fall aside, but attend to them. Attend to it. I love that about her. She attended to it. In verse 16, chapter 16, verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. I love that she recognized God in them. Amen. I wish everybody that see me would recognize a man of God, right? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? So they must have been carrying it out pretty good. In verse 18, and this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned to the Spirit and said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now that's power of God over the evil spirits. That's what that amounts to. And I got kind of amused at that. It said, but Paul, being grieved. Actually, he got tired of it. He'd had enough. He said, just come out of her. Amen. You think about Paul's situation. You know, enough's enough, right? Enough is enough. And that's where he got to. And this point that this lady followed him around and he got grieved by. He didn't want to be followed around by a bunch of evil spirits. And I thought, well, that ought to grieve a bunch of us that we don't want to put up some of the garbage we had to put up with. We ought to get a little grieved and say, just come out of them. That's enough. It got them in problems. It got them in trouble. They took them down. They beat them. They laid many stripes on them. You can read all this through the next few verses. Because of the loss of money, that's what excited them. That's what tore them up. It wasn't anything else, but it was because these masters lost money. That's what stirred them up. You want to get in somebody's under their skin, get in their pocketbook. That still happens today. So over in verse 25, they locked them up. They put them in prison. You can read that. Feet fast in the stocks. I just love this. Man thinks he has control over God's men. You know, they take them down. They put them in prison. They lock them up. They do all they can to confine them and bind them and imprison them. God's got a plan for freedom. You may be bound in sin today, but I guarantee you God's got a plan for freedom. Amen. It's been since Jesus Christ ever was, and that's from the beginning, and it still continues through the day. And I want to demonstrate the power of God, how God can set you free from the bounds of sin and the things that's got you shackled and handcuffed in your life. There's a freedom plan of God taking place here today. In verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. That just brings tears in my eyes when I think about that. They're down in prison. They're in a dark place. They're feet's in, their feet's fast in a stock. They're probably in shackles, no doubt. And they have hope. Now, I want to preach this hope to you. This wasn't the doubt that Thomas had. This was belief in the power of God. When they broke out praying and singing songs, they had belief, not what? Not what? You think about it. They believed God could deliver. And so we come tied into the same spot. When they believed, God's going to bless them. Amen. If they had doubted that God was able to deliver them out of prison, they may have still been there. I don't know. But you think about the belief they had in the situation they were placed in. They trusted God and they believed in the power of God. It said they began praying and they began singing praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. All through this place they began proclaiming the power of God with a witness and a testimony through song and prayer and praise to God. Amen. I thought about the prisoners. It must have gave them hope also. And now here's where the belief comes into play. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. So you read everyone's bands were loosed. It didn't just say Paul and Silas. It said everybody in the prison. Amen. And so your belief could affect everybody around you. It may not just affect you. It may be affecting everybody around you. That if you're in doubt, they'll be in doubt. If you're believing, they'll be believing. Praise the Lord. Change somebody's life. And whatsoever you do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto man. I'm up here, might as well just preach, hadn't I? Now here's where we get to. It said, and everyone's bands were loosed. So it affected everybody in that prison. The belief of two people, no doubt. They didn't doubt or they wouldn't have prayed. They didn't doubt or they wouldn't have sang. They began singing and praying. All the prisoners heard them. Had effect on everybody in the prison. This great earthquake that shook the foundations of the prison. That's the same power of God we have present in our services when we come here Sunday morning, Sunday nights, and Wednesday night. It's that power of the Holy Spirit of God that shakes our foundations just a little bit, right? I'd love to see a lot of people get shook up this morning, amen? You think you're standing on solid ground. You think you're where God wants you to be, but you know in reality you're not. I'd like to see that shake just a little bit. I'd like to see the house quiver, amen? The floors get to wiggling up and down a little bit. Shake your foundation that you hunt a firmer foundation, which is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Any foundation you're on other than the rock is not solid. Shake a few foundations. Believe and don't doubt. Attend to the things that's spoken here today. That's pretty special services, isn't it? Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Now, he's in a dire state. He felt the earthquake also. He also felt the earthquake. He probably heard their shackles fall off and hit the ground, you know, no doubt. But it broke him out of his sleep. He goes down, he's going to kill himself because he's responsible to hold these prisoners. Well, he had a job he couldn't do. You cannot restrain and hold the children of God. If God sets them free, they're going to be free. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's where I pray the foundation of your life is shaken today, that you might come and ask this question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's what it's about, salvation by the grace of God, that you may have the promise of eternal life through the power of God that'll keep you. That's where we're talking about tonight when we're attentive to the Word of God, that we do something about it, we take care of it, amen. Don't just be a hearer, but also a doer, that we take care of it. And just as this lady Lydia, she took care of it. She was saved. Then she was baptized. Amen. That's an ordinance of God that we follow, the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. You know, he put it pretty plain. He said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, I'll preach to you this morning. If you're going to be totally right with God, you're going to be baptized. According to the word of God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. I'm asking you to be attentive to the things that's spoken here today. That you attend to them, you take care of them. He said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now, I don't have to go any farther. I don't have to give any explanation. All I'm going to do is stand right here and tell you that's God's plan of freedom. That's God's plan for freedom for your life from the sin and the shackles and the things that bound you. That's God's plan for the power to shake whatever you're standing on. If it's not Jesus Christ, you need to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a verse for song. We'll close out. Somebody said I preached over last week. I didn't think so. That's just as I am. Just as I am. If you come to the Lord, that's the way you'll have to come. You'll come just as you are. And then God will change you. He can change you. Amen. He put you standing on the rock. I'm glad to be on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. That's the greatest thing I could tell you this morning. That one day I attended to the word that I'd heard. I attended. You need to attend this morning. Take care of it. Go ahead, David. New Salem Baptist Church, we receive members by letter, forthcoming letters, sometimes by statement and by baptism. If you're saved by the grace of God and haven't been baptized, not a party of the church, a member of the church, you need to attend to it this morning. Amen. Attend to it. You've heard it. Now attend to it. That's what we'd ask you to do. You know, you've stood too many services. Some of you stood so long, I've got a little bit disappointed, discouraged, but I'll get over it. But I'm going to tell you, you won't if you don't move and come forward. Amen. One more verse. Somebody needs to be moving this morning. Good to see everybody come this way. Like I said, a good number here. Still got some folks sick, not doing well. Y'all continue to pray for them. Sooner or later, we're going to get all this sickness out and get everybody back. We're going to fill the house. Amen. Amen. Looking forward to that day. I want to mention this. I've talked to some of the young men already. I've got 14 tickets available to the all-game dinner at Silverdale Baptist Church. That's where we're going to try several different dishes, no doubt. And then they're going to dish us out some of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. They say they have a good motivational speaker and then also a sermon be preached, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm trying to get young men. This says men and boys. Now, ladies, young ladies, I'm not deleting y'all. I'm sorry. If they have something for y'all, I'll go. But this says for men and boys. And I've got 14 tickets. I'm trying to get a group of young men out of the church to go. It's on February the 2nd. That's on a Saturday. We'll have to leave here about 3:30 in the afternoon, leave from the church. We'll take a bus, take a van, whatever we need to take. And if y'all are interested in going, by next Sunday, I need to know. I want to use up all these tickets. Now, older guys, don't feel hard at me, but if I get young men, they're first. Anybody under 21's got first priorities, amen. Over 21, you can have the leftovers. But I'm going to try to get a van load. I think Jake's going to go with me. And Gene, are you off from work that Saturday? I want you to go with us. I know you're over 21, but you hadn't experienced this yet. And I want you to go with us and help our young men. I'm down 13 now. Well, Jake, here's your ticket. Down 12 now. Amen. And so, ain't getting these tickets. Well, we bought all we could. Amen. We got what we could get. And but y'all understand what I'm trying to do. I want all of our young men that can go. If we wind up, if there's more y'all than we don't have tickets for, I'll go back up there and beg them. I'll send Chris back. But that's where we're at. We're trying to get together. And I thought how many times, and this is to my shame, I thought how many times that I've been so concentrated on this pulpit that I hadn't spent the time with our youth that I need to spend. I'm your pastor too. And I'm going to try to do a better job of it. Amen.
Well, Jim, I appreciate you preaching here this morning. I appreciate you as our pastor.
You ain't getting a ticket. Amen. Well, now, we've already got several young men committed that are going to go with us. Connor's already made a commitment, and some of the ones in the back's already made a commitment. And by next Sunday, I need to finalize that and be sure, because if we have any tickets left over or if we run short on tickets, that gives us a week to try to take care of that. And older guys, if we have any left over, you'll be welcome to them. But they've got first choice.
Amen.
They've got priority. Oh, yeah, you've already committed too, haven't you? That's down about 9 already. Y'all better come on. Y'all better get after this thing. Amen. Let me get you to dismiss us in prayer. Brother Mickey.